Hey everybody, it's Ted again. Welcome to week two. I can't believe it's only week two. Somehow that seems particularly strange for me, because it seems like there's been so much happening in this week and so much sharing and support of each other in the group. So, I think I would love to maybe just start this week off with everyone taking a few minutes to just maybe give just one or two sentences, not too much, but just to write on the post, how was the last week in a sentence or two? In fact, let's do a three-word check-in because there's so many people. So let's just do a three-word check-in, three words that best capture how this last week was for you in terms of these exercises. And whatever you say is okay. It could be like frustrating, painful, terrible. It could be like breakthrough, wonderful, amazing. So yeah, whatever you want to put, but let's just pause for a minute and you can go to the Facebook group and add any comments. Three word check-in, let's go. Kathy, man lessons. Nice. I think you may have met many lessons, but I think we should keep it to man lessons. All right. Wonderful, wonderful. Cool. It seems like for almost everyone, there's at least some positive tint to it. It seems like good but hard. It seems like there's a sort of a theme of challenging but ultimately good. So that's good news. Permission for navel gazing. Nice. Wonderful. Wonderful. So even if where you're at is feeling kind of stuck in some way, it's okay. This first week is really, we're just kind of churning the soil a bit, so you're kind of meant to feel a little confused, or that would be pretty normal if you were. So I'm really excited about this week, because this week we start to let it sift a bit. We start to really, we're going to start to bring some things together, and we're going to churn a few more things up. But we're going to start to find some common threads and get a little bit of form. And start to bring things together. So there are a few things I want to say before we dive in, sort of as by way of sort of framing. So first of all, again, wherever you're at, it's perfect. It's good. If you're feeling frustrated, you're stuck, not working for you, it's okay. Just keep sitting with it. This is a process that can take years that actually really never ends. So at this point, all we're trying to do is stir things up to help it move a little bit faster. And if you're stuck, it's okay because we do what we can. Just keep moving, keep breathing. The most important thing is not to let yourself freeze because it can be easy to just collapse. It can be easy to say, it's like when you're tidying your room and it gets a little bit messier in the beginning because you've got to pull stuff out. And if you stop at that point, it can just feel extra overwhelming. It can feel worse than when you started. So just keep moving step by step. And again, we're not trying to figure out your niche for your whole life. So if you have that as an expectation, that is probably going to feel really stressful for you. Remember, all we're trying to do ultimately is figure out a niche project that we can work on. And we're opening up these bigger questions so we can find a niche project that will feel really fun and authentic and that can help you move in the direction of maybe even finding a more significant niche. if you do happen to find like big core wounds and like significant things for the rest of your life, that's bonus and that's wonderful. One of the things I wanted to reflect back to you all is just noticing all of your comments in the last week and noticing how much affirmation that there was of each other, which was so beautiful to read. And notice, for those of you especially who were receiving so many affirmations, notice how much better it feels to get affirmation than advice. So when you're sharing your struggles, just have people say, "Wow, that's powerful. That's wonderful. Sounds like you've been through a lot, you know, and sounds like you'd really understand what it's like to be there." Or just to have people affirm the wound and the struggle of it and how hard that was, but also the beauty that's come from it. It feels really good. There's this idea in nonviolent communication of empathy before education, and in marketing, that is incredibly true. It feels really wonderful to have our wounds and our struggles affirmed instead of dismissed or minimized. And our marketing can do that. In fact, I think for our marketing to be effective, it really needs to do that. People need to come across us and know that we really get it, that we've been there, which is why I think niching around wounds ends up being such a powerful proposition, because inherently we kind of get it. Because we've been there, we understand that emotional terrain. Also, a thought around niching is that when we talk about this idea of the niche, I think again, it can be very easy mentally to slip back into niche being an exclusive thing, instead of that you can have sort of multiple ones that are related. But a phrase that I just wanted to lift up is this idea that, you know, when you introduce yourself, that you could just say, "I specialize in blank." That doesn't mean you're exclusively into that. It just means that's where you specialize, that's where you focus. And sometimes when people think of it as specializing in versus just having this one niche, that can take some of the pressure out of it. Because it's this can really take a while. Niching isn't like checking a box and you're done. It's more like I was gonna say a labyrinth, but you know, like one of the like a spiral where you kind of spiral in all the way to the center and then you spiral back out. And then you go back in, and then you go back out, and it's this kind of never-ending process where we go into ourselves and we introspect and we think and we reflect, and then we come back out. And it's interesting because I just watched this really amazing video that I recommend to all of you called Finding Joe, and it's about Joseph Campbell and kind of focuses on the hero's journey and this idea of how we go out into the community. Or we go, you know, we're in our normal world, something happens, go on this adventure. It's pretty hard, and it changes us in some way. But that the journey isn't done until we come back to the community and return with the gifts, with the story to share. And that can take time, and that's okay. And sometimes our niches that we're going to work with are what I would call a transitionary niche. Sometimes the niche isn't there to be the final thing you're ever going to work with. Sometimes it's just there to get you out of something. Sometimes you're working on something, you get interested in another, you know, this niche or this direction, and you explore it, and then that new direction kind of falls apart, but it wasn't there to be your lifelong thing. It was just there to get you to go the next step. And then you can let it go, and you'll find something even better, even clearer, because you'll have gotten the education of having had that transitionary niche. So that's okay. Another thought that I had was there's a guy, his name's a I think it's Kute. He's like a life coach out of England. And he was talking about relationships and soulmates. And his thing, which I thought was really profound, was that your soulmate is the person who you're with right now. Because we tend to attract people who are sort of a vibrational match for us or who fit for us where we're at in our life. And they're there to reflect back to us where we are in our life right now, in a perfect way to help us take the next step. So sometimes people are like, "Oh, what's going to be my perfect niche?" Well, the perfect niche might just be the people you have right now. That might be perfect for you at this moment. And it's when you meet it consciously, when you really consciously focus on the niche and ask yourself, "Okay, what is working about this, these people I'm seeing, and what isn't working about it?" That can be the thing that helps you take the next step. But they're probably the perfect people to show you that, what's working and what isn't. We'll talk more about that as we go ahead. It also occurred to me how niching is sort of like peeling an onion layer by layer, you know. You get closer and closer to the core of it, and it makes you cry as you do it. But niching is a lot like that. It's easy to think like, oh, I just want to be there right in the center immediately, but we go back layer by layer, and it can just take time. So if you feel like this takes forever, God, I'm not getting it, that's pretty normal. But every layer you get, you're closer and you're closer and you're closer. Here's another thing I want to lift up too that can sometimes take the pressure out of this. And I'm going to add a photo to the group. Just one second. Okay, so there's this. I'm posting. All right, it's up now. So look at the image I posted. This should be familiar from the workbook that you got last week. And you'll see that there are these four overlapping circles. There's what you do well, what you love, what the world needs, and what the world will pay for. And that your an ideal niche is going to be the overlap of all four of those circles, probably other things, but those four. And what's interesting is, we've been talking a lot about wounds, and there's this question, maybe where do wounds fit in with this? So I wanted to sort of reflect that in a few different ways. So first of all, what you do well, we often, because of the wounds we received and the struggles we had to go through in our life, we often got very good at certain things. And sometimes those are the very things we can bring. Now, sometimes what we do well is just an inherent gift and an inherent talent too. But sometimes there is a connection to our struggles. I went through my life still just feeling really uncool. I still feel not very cool sometimes, but really feeling uncool and really wanting to be cool. And because of that, I learned how to be charming and tell jokes and et cetera. And I got really good at those things because of that. There are also things that you love. And oftentimes, some of those are just inherent and born in us. And some of them, just out of the empathy of having gone through a situation, our passions and our vocation can be very related to, God, I'd never want somebody else to go through that. What the world needs to me is a fairly direct connection. Carl Rogers, the psychologist, had this line. He said, those things which are most personal are most general. So the more we can connect with our own personal wounds, the more, it's like other people in the world go through this. And the world has a lot of people struggling with this and needs people like us to be helping. And what the world will pay you for, people are really willing to pay for help in getting over those struggles, especially when it's really keenly felt, which we'll go into in some of the future calls. But another reason I want to look at this chart is that sometimes when we think about niche, it can be easy to think about, get lost in this. Well, who am I trying to reach? And I don't know who, so I feel stuck. But there's this idea I want to toss out. We'll probably circle back to it over the following calls. This idea of there's an implicit and an explicit niche. Now, the explicit niche is you say, okay, I want to work with this kind of group of people struggling with these kinds of problems who are craving these kinds of results. Boom, that's the niche, right? Here's the demographics, here's the psychographics, and you got it all laid out. That's the explicit niche. But the implicit niche, which will still lead you back to the explicit niche, is where you start to think about, well, what is it that I love? What do I do well? What would the world pay for? You think of like, what does the world need? And you think about all the things. You think like, what is the gift that I want to give to the world? What is this gift? What are the things I'm really drawn to? And then, who would want to pay me for that? Yeah. And so the niche becomes sort of implied in what we do. I think about Van Gogh. Poor man. Makes this amazing art, is not recognized in his time. But my guess is he probably also wasn't a very good marketer, and I just kind of wish he'd had a friend who was an amazing marketer who could have sat him down and been like, dude, you're trying to sell to the wrong people. But there are these other people in France or in all these other countries that would actually be super into what you're doing. You should check out their stuff. You should go talk to them and market there. There are people who they'll come up with some kind of jewelry design, and they go to the craft fairs for the old folks, and they don't sell anything, but they notice that the granddaughter, the teenager, buys it, and then another granddaughter buys it, and they realize, man, I'm at the wrong craft fair. Sometimes people think like they get an idea for who the target market is going to be for their product and service, and they go out, and those people don't respond at all, but somebody else does. And so there's this way that the niche is often implied in what we do. You know, a certain coffee shop, just the way it's designed and set up, there's often an implied kind of target market in it. Just, you know, it's like, oh, this is clearly for hippies, or this is clearly for sort of business folks, you know, downtown. There's often something implied just in the nature of the gift that we want to give and the way that we want to do it. So sometimes we can do it where we think, okay, who is the group and what's the gift that I want to give? Another way to do it is, well, what's the gift I want to give and who's the group? So it's this kind of yin yang, you know, and they spiral back and forth a lot. It's not this linear thing. But just, I think it can take pressure out to know that you can start any other place. You can start with who is this group that I really love and what would I want to give them? Or you can start with, like, I've got this thing I want to give, but I don't know who would be into it. And then you just start wondering about that and you make some experiments. And this is where the niche projects become invaluable because you can experiment in small ways. You can see if it really is a fit for that particular group or target market. So I hope that makes sense. It's a pretty important idea. Yeah, another thought I wanted to toss out. There are two different kinds of wounds that we want to look at. And I think it's important to distinguish between them, even though it can be a little bit fuzzy, maybe just a thought, a seed to plant here. There are wounds that you've largely overcome, things, struggles you've been through, but you're kind of on the other side of that and you're over it. You know, maybe you had a drug addiction and you're just not addicted to drugs anymore. And that's, you're not concerned about slipping back into that. Or you used to just be terrible in relationships, but now you actually feel really good in relationships. You were really unhealthy, now you're healthy. You were broke, now you actually feel like you've got a real solid grasp on your money. Whatever it is, there are those niches that you basically feel like, yeah, I've overcome it, I'm on the other side. And those are a really good thing to be offering. And that's probably your strongest ground to stand on. Just because you're going to feel the strongest inside of it. And then there are the wounds and the struggles that we're still learning to overcome. And of course, I don't know if we've ever totally overcome anything in our life, but you know, there are things you're still at the kind of beginnings of it. And I would say the gift of those is they can at least give you direction for the future. They might imply a future niche, and they could be great conversations to host. You could still actually make money from something you're struggling to overcome, because you might say, hey, I'm really struggling with this and I'm going to bring in experts and host them and I'll get paid, you know, a commission on that. There's still ways to get supported while you're learning to overcome it. And that's fine, but I think it's good to notice the difference between the two, because if you're at the very beginning of struggling to overcome something, you're going to lead a workshop on it. You are probably going to get slammed and get some really intense feedback, and it probably won't work that well. So just, you might want to notice which one is which. And for this project, you really could pick either. But just make sure you feel good, because also with the ones that we're still learning to overcome, it can be easy to feel like a fraud, and that can throw us off rhythm. And it can be easy to want to posture and pretend we're further ahead and pretend we're more evolved on it than we are. So there's a thought. Here's another thought. And I'm going to post. Well, actually, I'll share this in the document that you're going to get later. But one of my colleagues, Callan Rush, she does a lot of work teaching folks how to fill up their workshops and lead workshops and design them and design packages. And while her and my style is very different, she's got a lot of really brilliant things to say. And here's one of the things that I got from one of her workshops that I thought was so brilliant, so smart. And so important is that when we think about our target market, it's often easy to think about people who are just kind of ready to buy right now. Yeah. But I want to suggest that your target market needs to expand a little bit more broadly than that. So you're going to want to take notes on this next piece. So there are maybe 3% of people who are actively looking for a solution. There are 3% of people who are actively looking for a solution. These are the people who are, you know, late at night, they're up on Google, they're searching, they're at least looking for somebody who does the helps people with their kind of problem, but they might also even be looking right for your modality. You know, they're looking for nonviolent communication classes, and they are ready to buy. And this is who everyone is trying to reach. And so the marketing to reach these kinds of people looks like, hey, hypnosis workshop, buy our technology, all 2010 model cars must go, 0% financing, nonviolent communication workshop, learn Reiki. And it's not that this kind of marketing doesn't work, it totally does. It just it reaches out to those 3%, but it ignores everybody else. That means your marketing might be ignoring 95, 97% of the target market. Now, there are another 7% who are open to your product, your program, your service. They've heard about the kind of thing you do. They're genuinely curious about it, but they're not quite ready to buy. Yeah? They might be persuaded. They're not searching for it, but they might meet you and talk to you and be like, you know what? I'm going to do that. They're just not actively searching. Now, there are another 30%, 30%, who are aware for the future. They know they need you or someone like you, but it's kind of down the road. They tell themselves, well, we'll get a new car when we have kids. Time hasn't come yet. Or they think, well, the crunch time at work's over. I'm going to get back into yoga. Or when I stop traveling, I'll buy a house. You probably have a workshop in mind that you'd like to go to, and you haven't signed up yet or gone just because the money isn't there. It's not the right timing, et cetera. And you're sold on it in general, but it's kind of for the future, and you'll kind of see if you're into it in the future, if that makes sense. Now, there are another 30% who are totally unconscious. It's like when you meet them, it's clear to you that they have a problem that they need help with, but they have no awareness of it. They might not even know it's a problem. It's like somebody with bad breath. You know they need a Tic Tac, but they have no idea. Or they have anger issues, you know, and you're talking to them, and they just seem so angry, and you're like, wow, it seems like you have anger issues. I'm like, I don't have anger issues, shut up. And you can tell, but they're not aware of it. So they may or may not have any overt symptoms, but they don't understand the symptoms. It's like someone I knew had stomach pains all the time, but they didn't realize it was because they're celiac. And as soon as they realized, they're like, oh. So they had the symptom, but they had no conscious awareness of what it was about. So they obviously weren't gonna look at, you know, gluten-free stuff or getting gluten. They might notice that their romantic partners lost interest in them, but they don't see how that loss of interest was triggered by their domineering nature and inability to communicate. So if you did a workshop being like, hey, a workshop for people who are domineering and unable to communicate, well, it's probably not going to reach them for a lot of reasons. So that 30% either has no symptoms or they have no context for their symptoms and what they mean. So they usually just ignore them, which makes sense. And then there's another, the final 30% are just a no. They're just closed to it. And maybe it's because you live too far away. They're not going to be able to afford it. They already hired somebody else. They just are never going to hire you. They think that what you do is in league with the devil. And so, you know, you're hooped. And with these people, you just want to bless and release them. So the bottom line is you've got 67% of people who you're probably not marketing to, but who could be your target market. So when we talk about target market and niche and who we're reaching, it's easy to see them in that 3%, right? Because they're ready to buy. But we also want to make sure that we're not excluding the 67% who are open, aware, or just unconscious at this moment. So when we're looking at marketing, it's sort of even though it's a different conversation, the whole how do you market thing, we want to look at it as building a relationship from the start and reaching people earlier on. So by the time they're ready, they're more likely to come with us. So I hope that makes some amount of sense. Let me just pause for one moment. And everybody, thank you so much for helping people who could not get in. You're all the best. What else do I want to say about this? Also, here's another thought to think about. The connection between our wound and our niche isn't always this direct thing. It's not always quite so simple as like, well, you know, I was abused as a child, so I'm going to help other people who are abused, or I overcame cancer, so I'm going to help other people who overcame cancer. You know, I worked a 9-to-5 job and I hated it, so I'm going to help people who hate their 9-to-5 job get out of it. Sometimes it's that direct, and it's wonderful when it is. But the main thing to keep your eye on is that experience, whatever you've gone through, and the multiple experiences you've gone through, have made you very familiar with a certain emotional terrain, a certain type of journey that people can go through. And let's say that you overcame the loss of a loved one. Well, you may not have a niche of helping people overcome the loss of a loved one, but generally, helping people overcome or go through loss might work. And there might be another target market, another kind of loss that you actually feel more comfortable working with. And because you've gone through your own type of that, it can be very, you still have that same kind of empathy and compassion and ability to relate. So it's not always going to be so direct, but pay attention to how your experience may have prepared you to work with related groups. You might want to ask yourself, well, who else? It's like I had this experience as a child feeling trapped. Well, who else feels trapped in the world? And you may discover that there's another target market that's even more aligned with your passions, your love, your gifts, but who are going through that same wound. Yeah, you might have said, oh God, I just felt so lonely. Well, it's a terrible example. The point is, it may not show up in the exact same ways it showed up for you, but you still may have something to give there. And also, the core wound that you come up with through these exercises as you identify it, the wording you have for that may not be what people respond to. Because at this point, we're kind of thinking of the big circle, if you remember that. And then there are the little circles inside. So the wording we have for the big circle, it can be easy to get excited about it, but to remember that that wording is probably not yet the thing that people will respond to. Like I saw a few, chronic dread, post-traumatic stress disorder, people who feel abandoned, people who felt trapped. All these kinds of things are actually really wonderful for us. But those usually aren't the kinds of things that people in marketing will relate to or respond to necessarily in the strongest way. So just know that what we're coming up with right now is more the big circle and the container, and we're going to refine that into something that, from a marketing standpoint, people would actually respond to. So those are some just general things I wanted to put out, and I was thinking about them throughout the week and before the call, and just wanted to share those. So let's just pause for a moment. I want to see if there are any a visualization that we're going to do, and then we're going to go into some more content. So are there any just quick questions that people have? So I'll just pause for a minute or two. Okay, Mary was asking, will you be talking, teaching about marketing language? Yes, not in this call, probably in the next call or the call after that, we'll be talking about that. So, yes, absolutely. Leslie, thank you so much for taking down those numbers and percentages so people can see this. It's great. Any other quick questions? It's okay if there aren't any big burning questions right now, but any questions about kind of what I've just shared or. Yeah. I feel like we took a leap from niche to target audience. Is there a difference? This ends up being kind of a semantical thing, I think. It's funny. Everybody talks about it some different way, and some people say, it's not about niche, it's about the chosen audience or the target market, or it's about ideal client, perfect customer. I've heard so many different words, and I think for different people, they mean different things. So yes, in some ways, niche is probably different from target audience because niche, I think, like has that root of the nest and our place in the world. So it probably means something bigger. And we're using this shorthand of just who we're trying to reach as a as a way to find that, and that's kind of what it ultimately gets back to. So I'm going to use a lot of those terms pretty interchangeably, but I'll try to make distinctions when they're important. So thanks for asking. For the niche projects, will there be guidelines for developing or creating workbooks, workshops, actual products and services? A little bit. I don't know if I'm an expert in all of that, but you're going to get a ton of examples, like over 30 examples of the types of niche projects that there could be. And I'll give my best support I can for each of those. I won't have done all of them myself. Some of them I'll just be sharing that I've heard about. So there'll be a certain amount of experimentation required. But you may want to find people who've done things similar to you and learn from them. And if I know of resources that can help with that, I'll certainly point that out. Anyone else? Take a few more seconds to see if anyone else has any questions. So Darth Vader is talking to Luke Skywalker, and he's like, "Luke, I know what you're getting for Christmas." And Luke's like, "That's amazing. How did you know?" He says, "I felt your presence." Get it? See what I did? Amazing. You're welcome. You're welcome. There's a question about the niche vault. Did that ever recover? Did I totally had it set to private? My apologies. So I'll post that. Oops. I'll post it right now. But yes, it should be visible to you all. And there's some cool stuff in there. So if you haven't had a chance to check that out, I super recommend it. See, do you get these jokes from any other marketing people? I don't think so. Yeah, you'll use them later. Okay, any other questions? All right, I'm going to assume not. If there are, maybe just make a note of them and hold them for later on towards the end when we'll open it back up to questions. Cool. I'm glad the videos have been helpful in the vault. That's great to know. Okay, so I want to invite you to get comfortable and just find a space where you can relax. We're going to do a little visualization. So get yourself comfortable. Take some nice relaxing breaths. If you feel comfortable, close your eyes. And as you're sitting there, hearing my voice, I want you to think about a time in your life where you had some struggle. A particular moment in your life that, gosh, if you could have gone back and helped yourself, it would have made such a difference in your life. If somebody had been able to be there or to support you, it would have made such a difference. And this might be a moment, by the way, where there was some trauma, some bad things happened that were totally out of your control. You just couldn't do anything about it. And if somebody had been able to be there after to support you and comfort you or help you see things in a different way, it would have helped. Or maybe it's the moment, there's a moment in your life before you did something stupid that was like 100% your own poor choices. And gosh, if somebody had been able to be there or you'd had some kind of support or resources at that point, it would have made such a difference to your life because you wouldn't have made that choice. So I want you to just reflect over your life. I'm just going to give you a minute in silence just to sit with that. And it doesn't have to be the perfect one, but to find a moment. And if there's one that's like particularly big for you, then you can go there. But it's also fine if you pick a small one because all of these struggles have these through lines anyway. So you can kind of, beauty with this is you can start anywhere and you'll often end up at the same place. So don't feel a need to go somewhere super heavy if you don't want to go. It could be a small thing. But the small things often contain connections to these bigger things. So just give yourself a moment in silence to reflect and see what moment would have made a really big difference if there could have been some additional support or a shift there. And once you've found that time, just acknowledge it and you can let it go to the side for a moment. Because I want you to imagine this. You're walking through a field and the sun is shining and it's such a beautiful day. You can hear the birds singing. There's a body of water nearby. And up ahead, you can see a forest and the sun is shining through the trees. And it's kind of hot, and you're looking forward to the shade. And there's something about that forest that feels so alive and welcoming. And you walk towards it. As you get closer, you notice a path. And you follow the path into the woods. And it takes you deeper and deeper and deeper in. And the woods feel so refreshing. The air is so wonderful there. And you're taking deep, deep lungful breaths of this air, and you're noticing how revitalized you feel. And after walking a while, you notice a little house. Beautiful, magical looking little house. And you see that there is an elder outside. And it could be a man or a woman. But they notice you and invite you to come on over and grab a seat and offer you a drink. And you get this incredible feeling of kindness from this person. So much compassion of this person having lived such a full, full, rich life. And having experienced so much and just not having any judgment for anybody. And you end up staying there for hours. And as conversations go, you end up talking about your lives. And you just know that this elder is someone who's so safe to share with. And so you end up sharing about your struggles and that moment that you were just reflecting on that you just put to the side. You share about. And you share about that time and what a struggle it was for you and why it was such a struggle. And you just experience this elder listening with such kindness in their eyes, really hearing you. And just notice how it feels to be received by that elder. Maybe they don't even say much, but just the way they are around you, you know that they get it, they understand. And then the elder tells you that they've got something for you, but it might take a few days to put together, and would you be willing to help out around the yard and around the house with some things. And so they set you to chopping wood and clearing out some areas, cleaning the house. And you stay there for a few days, every day doing some pretty hard work, but every evening having a wonderful meal. And you notice this pouch that this elder is putting together for you, and the, filling the pouch with a little bit of medicine every day. And while you're working, they're going off gathering medicine and mixing this all together. And after a few days, which have felt so wonderful and so relaxing and replenishing and nourishing, it's like a strange kind of soul food, just being around that kind of person. It's late one night, and it's a full moon, and the house is in a clearing in the middle of the woods, and so you can see the moon. And the elders got a huge cauldron that they've been sort of stirring, and they invite you over, and you can see the moon reflected in it, and then you can see your face. But also, the images begin to change in the cauldron, and you begin to see yourself at that time again, if it was something out of your control, the moments after or before. And you're at a very safe distance. So you can see it, but you're not connected to the feelings of that time. But you can witness it. And I want you to reflect on what was it that you needed the most as you look at that from a distance. What was it that you needed at that time that would have helped you move through that time with more ease and grace? What did you most need? And I want to give you just 30 seconds to reflect on that. What did you really need? And if you ever feel confused at any point, you can ask the elder who's standing right beside you, who has their hand on your shoulder, keeping you strong, knowing that you're there and protected and safe. You can always ask them. Perhaps you're needing some more connection, acceptance, or affection, or appreciation, or support, just to be seen, to be included, to be understood. Maybe you needed some honesty from others. Maybe you needed some fun or some play. Maybe you needed some peace, some beauty, some harmony, and inspiration, or maybe it's just about your physical well-being, that you needed some protection or food or rest or shelter. Maybe you needed to, more of a sense of meaning or celebration of life or some sense of learning or growth or purpose in it. Maybe you're needing some autonomy, just some choice, freedom, independence, space, spontaneity. You needed to know that you could make your own choices. But take some time and just reflect on what was it that you were really at the heart of it and most needing at that time that could have allowed you to move through it differently. And I want you to reflect on what was it that you ended up learning about yourself in that moment, about yourself, about others, about life. There may have been some sort of disempowering beliefs that you might have adopted from that experience that you've carried your whole life as a result of that experience and not having the support that you were needing, not having the resources that you really were requiring to get through that in the way that you would have liked to get through that. So take a minute and just reflect on that. And again, you can feel the elder's hand on your shoulder. They got you. And if you're ever unsure, what was it that I learned from that? You can ask them, and they may have some wisdom for you in that. And I also want you to notice, what are the special abilities, skills, or talents that you adapted to get through that experience? What are the special abilities, skills, or talents that you adapted to get through that experience? Maybe you learned to become really small, so nobody would notice you. Maybe you got really good at reading people's body language. Maybe your ability to That's your ability to walk into a room and just map out the situation and notice who's powerful and who isn't. Maybe you got to be really charming. Maybe you became really smart and really good with language because you had to. Maybe you developed an incredible capacity for independence and taking care of yourself. Maybe it was compassion for other people. But take a minute and just reflect what, from that moment, there are some disempowering things, but there were also some pretty incredible skills that just to deal with it that you had to adopt and you had to learn and grow into. And I invite you to take a minute to reflect on those. And I want to invite you to reflect as you're standing there looking into that cauldron, feeling the elder's hand on your shoulder, how those abilities and skills and talents might actually be a blessing to others and to the world in ways maybe you've already considered and maybe other ways you haven't considered yet. But if they were to be used consciously and in service to the world, as opposed to just as a coping mechanism, how might they actually be an incredible blessing and a gift to the world? And if we were to pretend for a moment, I'm not even saying this is true, but if we were to play with the idea that everything in life happened for you, not to you, and that the universe was really a friendly place conspiring to wake you up to the truth. I'm curious, what else might have been the hidden blessing in all of this for you? How might this event, as terrible and painful as it was, how might it have been a blessing for you, for others, for the whole world? I'm not saying it wasn't painful and terrible and that that isn't also true. But if we were to play with that possibility, how might it actually have been a service to life itself and a blessing to the world that this happened? Or where in this might have been the blessing? And to just give yourself a moment to sit with where that may be true. And again, it's okay if that doesn't feel true. I'll give you a minute or so to just sit with that. Where may that have been a blessing? So take your time. And at any point, if you feel like you want to write something down, feel free to do so. Then close your eyes and come back to the cauldron with the elder there. And then the elder, with their other hand, one hand still rested on your shoulder, with their other hand, they wave it above the cauldron, and the images change a little bit. And suddenly you start seeing all the other types of people in the world who've gone through a similar kind of emotional landscape as you, who were needing a similar kind of thing that you never got. Similar kind of support for their journey that you didn't get. And you just start to see all the other possibilities of people, not the exact same journey as you, not the exact same circumstance, but people who've been through emotionally, been through that same journey. And just take a minute and notice what gets shown to you there. And as you consider all that you've been shown of those faces, the image goes back to you at that time. And you're still there in that beautiful clearing with the moon overhead and the elder right beside you. And the elder takes that bag of medicine that they've been preparing and they put it in your hand. And the elder invites you, if you want, to pour it in. And what's in the bag are all those things that you were needing that you didn't get. All those qualities, all the kinds of support, the things that you were needing that you didn't have. And the elder invites you to pour it into the cauldron. And as you do, you notice all those qualities pouring into that younger version of you. All of those qualities flowing into them. All that kind of support that they were needing back then flowing into them there. And notice how that changes things. Doesn't necessarily mean that some of those things didn't happen in the past. But notice how it shifts the way that you were able to relate to them or deal with them. Maybe you were needing strength. Maybe you were needing patience. Maybe you were needing trust. Maybe you were just needing some encouragement or empathy. Maybe you were needing some anger. And some boundaries. Whatever those were, they all flow in there with the medicine, and you notice how it starts to change the picture. And in the cauldron, you can see it's as if your life is flowing forward, but your life, as if from that moment, you'd had those gifts and those resources, that support, all those things you were needing. You're seeing your life differently. You're seeing your life as if you'd had those things from that moment. Forward to now. And I invite you to take a couple of minutes feeling the elder's hand on your back, knowing you're safe, but just watching this in the cauldron and being amazed by the unexpected twists and turns and shifts that happen in your life, the different decisions that are made as you carry those qualities forward. So just take a minute or so by yourself to notice how things unfold differently. Notice the difference that those gifts make as your life continues to unfold. And in the cauldron, it may go backwards and forwards. It may not be always totally linear, but you notice the impact on your life. How that same pattern that happened then maybe doesn't get repeated again and again because you had what you needed inside of you. Or that even when tragedy strikes again, you are carrying those resources in you to face them in a different way. And then the cauldron comes back to reflecting you. And the elder pulls out a cup of liquid from the cauldron and invites you to drink it. And when you drink it, you can feel all of those qualities from that changed timeline go into you. And you're looking at your own reflection, but the reflection looks different somehow. As if you had come from that timeline. Of things being different. And to know that all of those things in that medicine bag were things that you gathered over your whole lifetime, gathered so that you would actually be in a place to give these qualities and this kind of support to that younger you. But also, that these are gifts that you can give to others too. Others like you who've gone through that struggle, that you carry that medicine inside of you to give to them. And that you can give that to them at the moments in their life when they most need it. The moments when that support would mean the most for them. And to consider how that would change all of their lives and their timelines, to have those qualities and that kind of support, to have their needs met in a way that you didn't back at that time. And to know that you can be a source of that for so many people. And I invite you to take 3 or 4 minutes just by yourself, not on the Facebook wall yet, but just to reflect on that. And whatever came up, maybe that was profound, maybe it was not profound. But when you're ready, you can open your eyes, take some deep breaths, stretch a bit. And you've got about 4 minutes just by yourself to reflect. And then we'll invite some comments on the wall. So, 4 minutes, begin. Got about 1 more minute. All right. So, welcome back. So, I would just love any reflections, anything that came up around people's niches from that exercise. Again, no pressure to share anything that feels personal for you. But yeah, if there was anything that came up from that reflection or visualization that felt useful for you and honing in your niche that you feel comfortable sharing. So, Emily, thank you so much for being willing to share. So you're saying I couldn't visualize my gifts. Maybe I need to visualize another situation or event, but it made me see I still need to do some self-forgiving around that time in my life. Beautiful. And what that also has me lift up is I imagine there are a lot of other people who are having trouble forgiving themselves around things in their life too, things they did, things they didn't do. And there's a possibility that that might actually be a doorway into your niche too. People who just can't seem to forgive themselves for something. So that may be for the present, it might be something for the future. But yeah, food for thought. So Carmen was saying lots of excellent imagery and information that I know will be useful. The part where I keep getting stuck in these visualizations is when we're asked what skills we developed or which gifts came from these challenging experiences in the past. It's not that I don't recognize I have gifts. I'm just not sure exactly how or if they relate, if anything. I think those experiences led me to become a gold star seeker, always seeking the validation of blue ribbons and honors role staying to compensate for the lack of self-worth. What does that have to do with my niche? Hey there, sorry, it's Ted. I just got dropped off by the system. I'm back. Carmen, it just seems that there are certain things you got good at. And what's interesting is, like for me, because I didn't feel cool, I got really good at interesting people. I got really good at, being charming. I'm really good at like walking into a room and knowing who the kind of power players are in the room. And in an unconscious way, those skills had me be the tad show, had me sort of take over the space from other people, and had me have to be the center of attention. But in a conscious way, it means I get to be entertaining when I lead workshops, and it can be used as a force of healing and as a force of making things better as opposed to just being all about me. And so to me, it's an interesting connection to notice that some of these skills. Sometimes I think we don't even want to look at the skills because I'm like, oh, that's just me gold seeking and validation improving, trying to get validation. And yet, some of those skills unconsciously aren't that useful, but consciously can actually be incredible gifts in our service of the niche. So, Yeah, I'm not sure if that it helps or makes sense. Okay. So there's a lot of stuff here. So I'm going to come back to some of these after the call because we're at 10 minutes and there's some things I want to help frame for the future. But I'm going to come back and respond to these sort of personally on the Facebook group. So feel free to keep posting them. But here's some things I want to say in terms of moving forward. The homework that we're going to be moving into for this work week is around the big circle. And the big circle is, I think of it like, a big planter pot. It's a big pot. You've got a lot of soil in it that you can put seeds in. And the seeds are kind of like the little circles of the particular projects that you want to work on. And where that is useful is that different types of seeds require different kinds of soil. And so sometimes people will try to pick niches, they'll have three sub niches, three small circles, but they're actually so entirely different from each other. So they say, well, one of my niches is, I don't know, I want to work with truck drivers. Another one is I want to work with priests. And another one is I want to work with single vegan moms. And they don't really have much to do with each other. And they kind of, they're their own businesses at that point, in a way. And they may just require their own pots. So the big circle that we're looking at here is like, for your whole business, what do we know basically to be true already with the kind of clients that you most want to work with? What do you already know to be true about the kind of clients that you most want to work with? So there are a few things I'm going to invite you to consider in terms of this. And so this will be the homework. So you might want to reflect on the living room exercise in terms of who was in your living room, what kinds of people were they, what were the qualities they had generally. And you don't even have to get into the specific types. Well, you can, but just generally. I remember somebody said, oh, I was surprised that they were all women. So the big circle might be, okay, well, they're all women in this age range. We're into this kind of thing. Yeah. The cafe can give you some, that experience of going to the cafe, that visualization can help you figure out who generally you like to work with. The wounds piece can obviously be a great way to sort of figure out generally who you want to work with. People who've struggled with this type of wound in this kind of way, or who are in the process of struggling with that. Another place to look at are the qualities of your ideal clients. So there are a few ways to do that. One is to look at your past clients. And by the way, you're going to get some worksheets with all of this that will help you sort of pull some of this out. I'll be emailing out in the next couple of days. But there are the past clients you've had that you've loved, the ones you wish you could clone, that all of your clients could be like that. So you can think about them and what was it you loved about those clients. There are also the past clients you had that you didn't like and what it was about them. But you might also just reflect on, like, God, what would I love my clients to be like? And that can help define the big circle. So the big circle, again, it's just the general sense, the qualities. For me, it's like conscious entrepreneurs. And my ideal clients are people who are kind of politically and spiritually progressive. They're not dogmatic. They're open-minded. They're into permaculture. They're the kind of people who would show up on time, who'd want to tell their friends about this stuff, who are happy to pay my full rate. Those are examples of big circle things. Little circles are where we start getting into the particular target markets, the particular groups. So for example, for me, holistic practitioners, or it might be people going through divorce might be a subgroup. And so I want you to be really reflecting on what do you already know, because this will keep refining over time. You'll keep learning over time. But sometimes I think we don't give ourselves credit, or we dismiss it because we think, oh, that's too general. It's not a good target market. And the big circle stuff is not that useful as a small circle, as a target market, but it's actually very important as a background. And sometimes I think we either dismiss this, or we just don't give ourselves credit for actually having a tremendous amount of clarity already about generally who we want to work with. And here's another some fun thoughts I've been having about this that I would actually love your feedback on. So first of all, and oh, by the way, this also what you're doing, the niche may not be any different than what you're doing right now when we look at the wounds thing. Sometimes this isn't about doing this wound stuff isn't about always finding a new niche. Sometimes it's just about recognizing, oh, that's why I do what I do right now. It's because of those things that happened in the past, and I can see how that has led me down this road. Sometimes that's all we're doing is recognizing it, and in the recognizing it, clarifying and being able to articulate it. But when we look at the big circle and the type of work we do, here are some fun other ways to categorize, and again, I'd love your feedback. The first one is to consider, out of the seven chakras, which chakra are you most focused on helping people with? Maybe your work really helps people on the root chakra and real survival stuff. Maybe it's heart chakra stuff. Maybe it's the throat chakra and communicating. But if you had to pick a chakra, what would it be? If you had to pick one of the four directions, depending on which system of the four directions and all that, which of the four directions would you pick that you would say your work fits in the most? There are also four tracks that you can look at. There's the money track, the health track, the relationship track, and then there's the kind of God meaning spirituality track. So I'll go over those again. There's the health, so just physical health. There's the money track, so just our basic security, our economic and physical needs. There's that track, money. There's the God track, where it's this journey from people maybe feeling anxious and depressed and a sense of spiritual ennui to a sense of peace and rest. And then there's the what's the other one? Health, money, relationships. Yeah, relationship tracks. So that's everything from dating to marriage to relationships to sex, all of that. That is that track. And if you had to say, in terms of the symptoms of your clients, maybe not your diagnosis of it, but in terms of their symptoms, which of those four tracks you fit in, which one would you pick? When you think about your ideal client, if you're familiar with Myers-Briggs or the DISC model or the Enneagram or any of these sort of personality typing things, which one would you say they are, your ideal client? And this is where I'd love your feedback is, are there any other systems of classification that you can think of that might be interesting as a way that we can all be supporting each other in looking at where we how we can look at our own clients? Maybe you have some from your own modalities or your own line of work. But are there other ways that it might be fun and helpful to look at what is the particular niche or area that we want to help embody, or we want to support them in? So yeah, somebody said the Enneagram, definitely. So are there any other ways that I might help people clarify, like, yeah, this is my niche, this is my nest, this is kind of where I, this is the area that brings up my best, is, when I work with people around relationship stuff, or when I work with people around throat chakra stuff, or root chakra stuff, that's really my strength, or what I love to do. Any other systems of sort of categorizing or chunking things out in a way that you think might help other people figure out their niche? Because sometimes this is hard. Sometimes we'll be trying it and it's just from the wrong lens. But when we put another lens on it, it gets easier. What do we have? Okay, so it doesn't look like there's a ton. If there is, feel free to post it. And if there's a link to that, let me know because I may be able to include that in the workbook. So, again, this week, wanting to go slow because wanting to give you some space to sit with this. And now, over this next week, we're going to start refining it, we're going to start putting some boundaries on it. And coming up with a big circle. So that's our only real goal this week, is to start with, what do we already know about the kind of clients we want to work with? What do we already know? Let me paint a picture of what the next weeks are going to be. So next week, well, first of all, you're going to get some homework, which is going to help you refine the big circle a bit. The week after that, we're going to start looking at picking a smaller circle, something that we could do a niche project around that would fit in this big circle. You know, that fits within sort of your wounds and your gifts and your strengths. And so you're going to learn a lot in terms of the homework this week about qualities of the big circle, what fits in it, what isn't it. And then with the smaller circle, that's where we're going to start to get real nuts and bolts. Because in the smaller circle, we're going to be looking at the qualities of a target market, the elements that you need to have there. And we're going to also start looking at how you articulate that. And that's going to be one of the big pieces of homework, is I'm going to ask you next week to start fiddling with, can you articulate that small circle in a single sentence? And this is where you're going to start getting a lot of direct feedback from other people about, is that clear and isn't that clear? In the week after that, we're going to start looking at what might some niche projects be that could come out for that. And you're going to hear a bunch of examples of niche businesses and specific niche projects. I've got a list of at least 29, I think probably more that I'm going to add, about specific types of projects that you could do around that niche. And on the next call, we're going to start looking at how can you make sure that that niche project is actually successful and profitable? How can you make sure that that's really going to work and move ahead? So that's the trajectory we're going. So it might seem slow, and not everything is going to land for you in every call. But I'd rather go a little slow in the beginning to give you time rather than rush it and have you pick a small circle kind of target market that doesn't really fit or doesn't work or isn't sustainable. So the trajectory of this is kind of slow build, but it's going to pick up pace as we move ahead. So I hope that's useful. Thank you so much for the call this week. I'm really looking forward to the next coming weeks. And keep your eye on your email over the next few weeks, and we'll hopefully you'll be getting the homework with some worksheets that can help you take this another step further. And also in terms of homework, if you haven't already gone through those wound exercises, I really recommend it. The ones at the end of the last workbook, I so recommend going through that, because that's going to help figure out the big circle stuff. And if you already feel like you've got that and that's really clear for you, you don't need to do it. But it might be worth taking a look at. So that's it. Thank you so much, everybody. I hope it was useful. And any feedback on this, I'm absolutely welcome for. Feel free to send me a private message if you'd like. And that's it. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Bye.